Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
MMA and UFC legend Chris Cyborg is going to join us. Her story is very fascinating. So that's coming up. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Will you do one or the other? And then there's your automotive policy. So you get your bundle working. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your automotive policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the home. So go to geico.com. Get a quote and see just how much you could save and how easy it is to bundle when you go to Geico. That is geico.com.
Do you want to be a part of Adam's next book?
Shit, yeah!
Submit your questions for Ask an Asshole by emailing them to askhole@adamcarolla.com. Please include your name, age, and location. Ask about any topic you need the Ace Man's advice or answers on. That's askhole@adamcarolla.com.
Well, here with one of the legends of mixed martial arts, Chris Cyborg. I'm a fan of yours. I've watched many of your fights. And congratulations on an amazing career. Let me give you a plug, by the way. You have a NFT series. Yes. Traits of a Champion, and you can see this NFT, or you can bid on it, or you can find it at How Do We, and it's HODOOI.com or How Do I. Either one will work. Nice to meet you.
Hey, nice to meet you too. Yes.
So let's walk through your career and walk through your past and go down memory lane here, and then we'll move up to Bellator, where you're the current featherweight champion, female featherweight champion. First off, what I was just watching the Jake Paul fight with my son and his friends, who are 15, and they're into it. What is your take on this new trend of essentially celebrity boxing?
You know, I have a lot of boxers don't like about this match we're doing, the celebrity, but I believe it's very good for the sport. I think it show a lot of new fans, you know, like new fans, Jake Paul, come to follow the MMA boxing. And I think they did a great fight, you know. I think Woodley was very happy too. You know, he's getting paid very good too. I think he then really appreciated him in the show, and he then both did a good job.
I was looking in your background. I was surprised. I know you lost to Amanda Nunes recently in the Octagon, but I was thinking, I was surprised that you had another loss. Look at you, sort of undefeated, and one of the biggest forces in female mixed martial arts ever. But I didn't know you lost your very first fight.
Yes, I lost my first fight in my MMA. I was training 6 months, But, you know, I say I want to try. I love sports. So I started practice sport when I was 12 years old. But like soccer in Brazil, another sport, but I started to do MMA in 6 months, did my first fight. I lost, I did one injury in my elbow. But after that fight, I say, you know, I love this. I think I'm born for this. I want to continue doing this. So after that fight, I stayed 14 years undefeated.
14 years.
14 years.
Right.
And
well, just for anyone who wants a little motivation, your very first fight was a loss. And then you went 14 years undefeated.
You know, I always humble to train, to learn. And I think the first thing, I love my job, you know, and always in my life, I want to be athlete, you know, live my life being athlete. So when I find the sport, mixed martial arts, for me, changing my life, changed a lot of things. So 14 years undefeated, and then, okay, I lost for Amanda, but they're going to be like 3 years after the fight, and I'm now 3 years undefeated.
Is Amanda... is she essentially unbeatable? I mean, no one is unbeatable, but she, you know, going into that fight, I think you were the two best pound-for-pound female fighters on the planet. She looks sort of unstoppable in many of her fights, much like you do as well. Is there somebody who can beat her that you're aware of?
I don't know. I think Amanda getting better, you know. I think her career, I believe that day we fought was her night. But I think nobody going to be unstoppable forever, you know. I still was 14 years and I lost. I think one day going to show up. Or maybe not, but I believe the sport growing, coming a lot of girls coming up. And I think her next fight too, the girls are going to be challenged for her too. I think she's good at wrestling too. I want to have five losses in her career, I believe. And the girl she lost, Katzingano, she's a little bit close to the style the next girl Amanda Nunes is going to fight.
What is the Bellator versus the UFC? What are the, I mean, people think of the UFC when they think of mixed martial arts. The people that are bigger fans of mixed martial arts obviously wear Bellator and watch a lot of fights on Bellator. Can you tell us, if you know the difference between the size of the two organizations, is UFC twice as big as Bellator, or is it more, or is it less, or can you even define it?
I think UFC came for a long time already, you know, in this sport. It's going to be maybe 25 years, or I don't know. Bellator, I don't know how many years, but I think the sport growing. And I think the first thing, Bellator is getting better. How's then treat the fighters? How's differently than treat the fighters? I think this is make Bellator getting better every time.
Is there was there a reason you went over to Bellator from the UFC?
Have a lot of reasons, and first I wait for my contract finish and see the option I have to another options, another organizations, because I think the first thing people are afraid when you fight the UFC, because they always put the pressure, you sign the deal before finish the contract. So then you didn't see the option you have. So, and I was very happy to see the option I have and how I'm getting paid and how then we really appreciate the fighters. But when you get out, you didn't see how available you are.
How did you grow up? What was your family like? Where did you grow up? Let's talk a little about that.
I grew up in Brazil. I was rich family, but you know, my mom, my dad, I was working and try to do the best for me, my brother. And the sporting for me really helped a lot because I have a lot of scholarship and play handball. It's like one Arab game. Mm-hmm. And I played handball when I was teenager. I was not too troublemaker because I always want to be athlete and be the best at what I was doing. And represent Brazil in handball. So, yeah, it was not too hard. It was easy, girl.
But, you know, your fighting style was pretty ferocious. Is pretty ferocious. Was there something in you that was being channeled into that? Or is it all just this is a sport and this is the best way to be effective at this sport? You know, they're different fighters, different styles. You know, Mike Tyson was a ferocious guy. Other guys like Larry Holmes was more of a technician as a heavyweight, didn't seem to bring a lot of his personality into it. What's it like for you?
It's funny you make this question because I didn't know I have that feeling when I'm fighting either. So when I'm doing okay, I suffering bully too in school. And I was never like to fight anybody or try to defend myself. I was runaway about doing, you know, the.
So you were bullied.
Yes.
But your reaction to it was, I don't want to get involved.
Yes, yes. And I was, you know, get involved. But then when I did my first fight, I was never playing about. I was playing handball, actually. And then one guy see me in the university, and he told me, I think you could be a great fighter. I was 19 years old.
Because of your physique?
I think because I was strong too. I was very good for defense and that, you know, attacking the handball. And he told me, I think you can be a great fighter. And he's giving one card from one GM shoot a box. And I told him, okay, but then I was never interested about be a fighter. So I went to the GM, watch a little bit, and I started training. So I did my first fight. And after my first fight, I didn't know I have all the things, but in the gym, I started show up when the people punch me. I want to return and they didn't know how. It's really something inside me. I believe this is come for sure from when I was kid. You know, I have my family, no perfect family. My parents divorced. I think maybe something happened and this is making one challenge for me. But I didn't know I have this too. I didn't know I always have that thing inside me.
Yeah, so it's not something you tapped into before that, but then when you got to that place, it sort of felt like a good fit.
Yes, and I didn't know. So when in the train, I showed a little bit. Everybody said, man, she's going to be a good fighter. But I really didn't know I have this. You know, I'm glad. I think God sent this guy, saw me and play handball. And tell me, I think it'd be a great fighter because it changed my life. And the life I have now is different. It's supposed to be a player, handball player.
Yeah, I mean, you never would have found your way into an octagon if this guy didn't come up and tap you on the shoulder.
Yes.
Yeah, but, you know, you hear a lot about those stories in all businesses, show business. You know, I didn't know, some people go, I didn't know I was a good singer or a model or an actor or something, but someone came up to me. But I always feel like they would have found their way.
Yes.
Into that. But you don't feel like you would have found your way into that, into combat sports.
You know, I was loving handball, and I was doing running too. You know, I doing running competition, heptathlon, and I was doing, but I was never thinking to be a fighter. This something never went to my mind, like, yes, never. I was not having good experience either, you know. Sometimes it happened, bullying, and sometimes fighting, but I was never good. I was never thinking about.
You lost your first fight in a knee bar?
No, she tried the knee bar after, but when I, because in Brazil, you can, if the person, the event I fought, the rules, like if the person on the floor, you can kick in the head or can jump in the head, like.
Right.
So when I did this fight, I she's on the floor and I try jumping in the head and jump on her guard, like for a step on her head. And she's pulling me in my hips, and when I fall with my elbow, and then pop out.
Oh, okay.
But I still punch her in the floor, and then she's really try to knee bars and the two legs. But I tap because I was moving, and my elbows really bad.
Right. So she was trying a knee bar, but you really tapped because you dislocated your elbow.
Yeah.
And how'd your family or friends feel about going from handball to cage fighting?
No, my mom at the beginning, she didn't like it because it's not something popular sport. It's like not a lot of people knew when I start. You know, we talk about like 16 years ago. So nobody really give a lot of credit for the sport, especially a woman, you know. And then when I told my mom, oh, I would like to fight, she said, no, this is not for you. I want you to go to finish your university. I want something different for you. This is not for good people. She's not like it at all. But I was training another sport, continue to go to university, and I was hiding her. I go to training. And I was still doing MMA training, mixed martial arts training, and she didn't know. And then when I did my first fight, she was not happy about, but, and then after that couple months, I was met my husband, my ex-husband, and I married for him, and he's a fighter. So, and then my mom started to see his career, housework, heavy rules, and then she started accepting a little bit, but I think it could be a couple years my mom really accept.
Do you remember what your payday was for your first paid fight all those years ago?
When I already fought free in my career too. I was very, very little money, maybe 1,000 reais, maybe it's going to be like $200, $100, like my first fight maybe in Brazil. And when I came to America, first time, usually the event don't bring people from outside too much, and there was nobody that time. So then, okay, we can have your purse, we pay your visa work, but, and I make you like a... I don't know how we can call here, but you ask for help for everybody for make the money for buy my tickets for do my first fight in America.
Does I think a lot of women fighters probably feared you for quite some time. Maybe they still do. And certainly, you were considered, you know, very unstoppable and very unbeatable. Did you feel like a lot of women were ducking you and trying not to fight you in your career?
I have a lot of moments in my career, and I still have some moments in my career. I stayed like, in the beginning of my career, I stayed one time, 2 years, not have fight for me because the girls don't accepting fight me. And I believe in my fight style, you know, my fight style maybe then me afraid, you know, they don't like to fight somebody like me. Like,
can you tell at the beginning of the fight, if you're in for a tough fight, a long night, in other words, like, can you feel that person's first punch? Can you see by the way they move? Is there something, a sense that you have or something they give off where you go, I'm dealing with someone who's going to be very difficult tonight?
You know, I think the first is not the night you're going to fight, but I believe before the preparation, when you do the training, you're going to study your opponent and you see the style of the opponent. You're going to see already if they punch hard or not, because you see how they work in the fight and with the plan you have to the fight. But for sure, in the moment of the fight, you really, really know what's the strong points your opponent have. Yeah, you can be surprised. Yes, you can be surprised too. But in the moment, you can feel a couple things, but you're going to prepare for the situation you're going to have in the fight.
So you came out, where was your first professional fight? Or was the armbar, elbow dislocation fight, was that a professional fight?
Yes.
So you didn't fight amateur?
I didn't have amateur and anything. I just go straight for the profession.
It's interesting because, you know, so many UFC fighters, you know, they have a background in martial arts. Yes. Or background in wrestling or maybe boxing or some version of, sometimes they play football or something like that, but it's never handball.
I really started late because I was 19 years old when I started training mixed martial arts. I don't have anything before. I don't train anything about mixed martial arts, anything for nothing. I started to handball and they like to run. Sometimes if somebody in the school injury in the team, soccer team, I was there in the soccer team. I was like the person, okay, we need somebody in basketball. I show up. I just love the sport.
When you're training for a fight, what's the day like? What's the schedule like? Let's say a month outside of a big mixed martial arts fight.
You know, for me, I like to always be in training. You cannot train the same intensity when you have a fight, but it's very important you keep training like you work, like you come to work every day. So you go to the gym, learning, getting better techniques, what you have to improve your game. But when they have the scheduled fight, usually my schedules, I run in the morning. It's like my breakfast. Every morning I like to run in the morning before the sun come out. And this is the breakfast, coming home, breakfast. And around 10:30, I have another training and 2 hours training and come back home 1.5 hours, come back and home, lunch, take a little nap. It's important to take a little nap and back to train again. Sometimes I have 2 trains a day or 3.
Do you have thoughts about, let's say, some upcoming UFC fights, for instance? Like, they're talking about John Jones getting, going up to heavyweight and fighting Ngannou or something like that. Do you study that? Do you have thoughts about it? Do you have opinions about it?
About this fight?
Yeah.
You know, I think John Jones being prepared for really this fight for a little while now. You know, he's starting to put weight, training. I think he's not nothing right, was right, but he's already new a little bit. I think he's being prepared. I think it's going to be a great fight, big challenge for both.
I don't know if that fight has been made yet.
No, but just people talking, I think is. Then I think it's still negotiation about money. I think maybe John Jones is not happy. I don't know. But he's training. You know, I think he's training, and you see how he's posting and work on.
Are the female fighters getting paid like the male fighters get paid? I mean, I know you're a star, so you're not going to get paid. You'll get paid more than other female fighters. But, like, for instance, we have the NBA and we have the WNBA, and the highest paid WNBA player is probably not making what the lowest paid NBA player is making. There's a pretty big chasm, for instance, in that sport. Is there that kind of separation in the UFC?
I think,
or I should say, mixed martial arts.
Yeah, mixed MMA. I think it's because MMA, it's every athlete is different contract. Of course, another sport too, but I think it was like a retirement stuff. The people do NBA have the MMA fighters don't have. You know, like, but some fighters getting paid good, some fighters not. Yeah.
But do you know that there's that separation between what the men are getting paid and what the females are getting paid?
I think it changed a little bit because the women's MMA growing a lot, and a lot of people want to see the women's MMA women's fighting. So I think getting better this. I don't know the difference how much they pay, but I think they pay a little bit. If the person, the girl is good, then the people like to fight like her, for sure they're going to pay good like the guys.
Do you have your next fight scheduled?
No yet, but I know, but I cannot announce yet. I have to wait my boss announce.
But will it be within the next, I don't know, 6 months?
You guys gonna know soon. Yes, I've been training and being prepared for the fight.
How much weight do you have to cut to make weight? Is feather between 135, 145?
145.
145.
Yes,
is
exactly.
The max.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
What do you walk around? I mean, it's not polite to ask a woman her weight, but I always ask all the guys, what do you walk around at, and then what do you have to make, and then how do you make it?
Usually I walk 170 to 165. Mm-hmm. Usually I'm walking.
So and that's quite a bit of weight.
It's a lot of weight, yes.
I mean, it's 25 pounds, depending on whether you're 170 or 165, right?
Yeah, everybody look at me and say, well, you look so skinny now, but I mean, really heavy. It's like muscle, and yes, it's 170, 165.
So how much, so you got to cut 25 pounds, and how do you start that? And then how close do you get, how far off 145 are you a day before the weigh-in?
Usually I do I start my camp 8-10 weeks, you know, for me drop for make 145. I start on my diet. I try, you know, lose little muscle for make the weight. And I think I fly to the week of the fight maybe 158, 155, depending what's my camp. Mm-hmm. And, but I make 145 in the day.
Right, so that's just all water weight at the end?
Yeah, in the end, we should take out a little bit of water.
Is the weigh-in, the weigh-in's the day before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is Bellator the same as the day before? Some people are talking about they should have a day of. Other people don't want that. They might feel like you're too depleted if you do it the day of.
The day when you cut the weight?
Yeah, the day of the fight.
If you check the weight, if you like to make the weight the day you fight, some sports.
Yeah. Is Bellator the day before or the day of?
Day before.
Day before.
Yes.
Right.
But you now have to check your weight like a little bit. I think some states you have to check it, see if you 10%, a little bit up the weight you make, like 145, you have to be 10% above.
So you make 145 the day before. What do you weigh when you enter on fight night?
Yeah, the same weight I was in the camp, maybe 158, 159.
Mm-hmm.
For the fight.
Any thoughts ever about going up a division and not having to drop 25 pounds?
You know, if I fight the same night, I have to make weight for sure. I would like to maybe fight a different division. I have to go on 55.
Mm-hmm.
This would be better than, you know.
Is, so, you know, women's, well, I guess mixed martial arts is sort of a new sport. And the women's part of it is fairly new. I mean, I think, I don't know when Dana White said it, but he was like, by no means no women are going to fight in the UFC.
Yes.
And that wasn't that long ago. It's come on fast in the last few years. Maybe, I don't know, Ronda Rousey helped get it there. So you were fighting in another outfit, for lack of a better term. I mean, you weren't fighting in the UFC for a while, right? For a long time at the beginning. Is that correct?
Yes, I think as the pioneers, the girls, I think I'm the first to have a couple girls to come and do MMA. When UFC say maybe it's don't gonna have a girls anymore, I was already champion the Strike Force.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Ronda was fighting in Strike Force too. And the moment I was now with UFC, because they didn't open my division, just they opened the one division 135. I think it was the first division they opened.
Mm-hmm.
So I was not able to fight there 135. I was fighting Strike Force.
And what year did you go to the UFC?
I was fighting after in Strike Force. I was fighting Invicta FC. And then I have a contract with UFC, but I was fighting Invicta. I think it's 2014 or 15. I'll sign with UFC.
And so what's your family like? I know you're divorced from a Cyborg, who was your first husband. I mean, that's a nickname, right?
Yes, yes.
But it just stuck with you. You just kept it, right?
Yeah, the reality, the beginning when I had my first fight, everybody don't know what nickname to give to me. So then put Chris Shooter Box as like the name of the gym I did training first time.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started fighting, and then actually Rafael Cordeiro, my second fight, I said, you know, let's put Chris Cyborg, because it was my ex name Cyborg. And after I've been fighting, people really call me Cyborg. And when we divorced, like people already know me more about Cyborg. So I talked to him and said, I know Chris. Yeah, it's okay. We're still friends. You can keep the name. It'll be good. And just to grow the team Cyborg.
Did, and are you remarried now?
Yeah, I have my fiance.
Do you have kids?
I have my daughter, yes, Gabriela. It's my niece, but for me, it's like my daughter. I adopted her like my daughter.
Do you want to start a family? You want kids after you retire or before you retire?
Yes, I want. This is, I think, a dream. It's one dream I would like to do, yes.
You planning on it?
No yet, but yes, I've been thinking about for sure.
Would it be the kind of thing you'd want to do after you've stopped fighting? And then how long do you continue to, or how long would you like to continue to fight?
You know, I feel like I'm in my prime now. You know, I feel great. I feel great. All my fights, I've been 3 years undefeated, and you see my fights, I get improved a lot. And I don't know when I want to retire, for sure when I feel my heart is the moment, I will. And then, yes.
You have the same desire, the same motivation you had back, the same love for it that you had when you started. Are camps difficult now, or does it get repetitive? Or, you know, I think that happens with a lot of fighters, because they have success, they have money. It becomes harder to go to camp because they're leaving a nicer life, you know.
You know, I believe the day I signed with Bellator, when I left the UFC, because I don't know if you follow my career, the moment I was UFC was I have a lot of stress over there. It's very difficult to work with them, and so I was having a hard time saying, man, maybe I want to retire. Maybe I don't want to do this. I was not having the same pressure I have. So the moment I signed with Bellator, and I see much respect how they treat the fighters, and the fire putting fire in my heart again, and I'm really happy. And you know, I don't want to be I have four titles, different titles, different organization, but for me it's very important be champion in people's life. So when I'm fighting, I always help helping Project Kids in Brazil. We have an event in Brazil, and the event, we want to bring more people, more fighters, give the opportunity for come more champions from Brazil and for the another event. So I have a lot of things behind, not just me being fighting, but the open opportunity for others.
We need to take a break, but when we come back, I want to talk to you about stem cells, because I talked to Frank Mir about that.
Nice.
Thought it was very interesting, and I feel like a lot of people listening would like to hear about that and some of the science behind it and how it works. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Chris Cyborg right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there, owning. Renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle your policies at Geico? Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com. Hey, it's Adam Carolla.
It's Mark Garagos.
We do a show called Reasonable Doubt.
Best hour in the universe.
Sometimes 54 minutes.
And sometimes we've been known to do 48 minutes as well, and sometimes an hour six.
Either way, we round up. Best hour. Like Mark Bill.
It's exactly like in 6 minute intervals. Exactly.
Every Saturday on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Subscribe to Reasonable Doubt, the best hour in the universe. With Mark Garagos and Adam Carolla. Every Saturday on Podcast One, Carolla Digital, and Apple Podcasts.
All right, back with champion, MMA champion, dominant female champion. Probably, I'd imagine you're on a lot of pound for pound lists, male and, you know, female included. Got to be a top five all time
for a little while. Yes, for a while. Yes,
in the pound for pound department. What were you highest ranked in the pound for pound mixed martial arts for a little while?
I stayed number one.
Yeah.
Yes,
it makes sense. You were more dominant than any of the males were. Certainly, I have. I'm looking at my screen here. March. As of March, number one Bellator women's pound for pound rankings.
Yeah, and the Bellator too, yeah.
But let's talk about stem cells, because like I said, I spoke to Frank Mir. Frank's a great guy, talking about going to Colombia to get it done. What did you have done, and how did it work, and how did it make you feel?
It's going to be I just came back from there. This is going to be the third time I went over there. And I really, in my career, I don't have a bad injury. Like just the first one, I dislocated my elbow, but it was not bad. I didn't did any surgery or anything. I just did physiotherapy and nothing problems again. But I have some little injuries, like, you know, my wrist, my ankle, because I run a lot, my knees. And I started the treatments the third time I did. And it's unbelievable I have a problem in my wrist before I pop out all the time. And I have to use tape for training for a little while. And I never have a problem again. And I've been going like every year now and doing the treatments, getting IV. This time I did my knees, IVs, I did the whole body. And for the future, you know, and if I can get in my long career, MMA career.
All right, so let's break it down. So you have a wrist. It's mm-hmm. bad wrist. It gets dislocated. And it's an issue, and this went on for some number of time, right? Some period of time.
Yes, it's for years. It'll be years.
Years. So you go in and you say, I want to get stem cells on my wrist. I want to get treatment on my wrist.
We go over there, we do a blood test, and they're going to check your blood, how's your auto body, if you're healthy, everything. And you tell, okay, what do you feel? What's your injury? And I have a lot of procedures in my body. And then you do MRI. You do MRI, you check it, what's okay. I did MRI in my wrist, my ankles, my knee, my shoulders, for checking what the problem is. Mm-hmm. And the moment they know, okay, what are you going to do? How many cells are going to put in the place? And the doctor together, he's going to explain to you. And then another time you make the application. And then following you up, then stay with you. We stay 1 week in Colombia really mm-hmm. for you, depending on what you're going to treat. But, it's, you know, for you can be there after you, you know, put the cells and be there if you feel some headache, something, symptoms you happen. Some people, yes. Some people have the symptoms, some people not.
So they put the stem cells, let's just say, will stay on your wrist. Mm-hmm. They put the stem cells right into your wrist?
Yes.
They physically just put insertion or put a needle
yes.
into your wrist where yes. the problem is.
Yes.
And how long does that take? Like, how long do you physically sit there while they're doing
that process? It's very fast. It's not too long. The preparation for, you know, for the place in the doctor place to do, but is no, depending with the patient too. You know, I did one day, I did everything. I did my spine, I did my knees, I did my shoulder, my wrist, my every day one facial. You can do facial too. And I did it one day, but depending on what patient, you know, if he's going to handle it, no hurt too bad, no hurt bad, like, it's okay.
Well, not for
depending on the patient, too. Yes, yes, yes.
You have a high threshold for pain. Yeah. So you do the wrist, and how long after that can you sort of test your wrist out?
Then say you start, you can be working your body like 8 months, 1 year, you know, be going to still work in your body for you know, fix your history. But I feel like...
It'll last for 8 months or a year?
Yes.
So, and you can go, after you get your wrist worked on, you can go back to training the next day if you want?
Depending on how your injury you are, but there's no straight day because you're going to be hurt a little bit because
right.
of the will of the cells working here in the place you put the cells. And it's very important to then tell you don't take anti-inflammatory because the inflammation is good for the cells to start working the place you put the mm-hmm. cells. And if you have to do physiotherapy, then tell you have to continue move your hands move your knee, doing the movements like PT. Continue doing PT for help you, the cells help the cells for doing the regeneration.
So then you go back and you resume your training, and the wrist does not come dislocated again?
No anymore. It's unbelievable, but it's my ankle is no problem anymore. I went to that now because I have I feel in my knee for a couple camps, and then I say, no, I want to go again for the some stuff, but it's unbelievable how it works.
Is that procedure illegal in the United States?
I saw the people doing here, but I don't know how this semi amount million some cells, you know, have some limits the cells and put in your body.
So how does it work? And I don't know how much you know about the sort of science behind it, but what is the first thing they do? I know they do the MRI and they do that, but then what? Do they draw your own cells out, or how do they do it?
What do I mean?
Well, do they take different cells, like younger uh-huh, cells, uh-huh. essentially, and uh-huh. put them into where the older cells were?
Yes, then they have one place over there, like laboratory, and then take from the, I don't know in English, umbilical?
Right.
Yes. And then then make the process over there, then when you're there, then explain it to you, everything.
Is that why they... say, like, when you have a child, you should save
when they have a child. Yeah, I have some friends save the everything when they have the baby.
So that they could use that
in the future. If your baby or you or the dad have some problem, this can help.
So you come back and this injury is not... it doesn't exist anymore. It's literally repaired.
Yes, repair.
And I was going to say, like, well, with your knee, I mean, you know it hurts, but some of it could be psychological. But with your wrist, that's coming dislocated. So there's no
all the time. I was
like
people, you can see people in training. If you ask people train do jiu-jitsu stuff with me, all the time I have the tape. And they sometimes pop out, I put back and back to train again. And I never have this problem again after I did the first one, injection.
Was it always that, like when you were, you know, some people have a higher threshold for pain. I think I'm one of those people. Some people have a very low threshold for pain. Were you always that kind of person that just sort of had a higher tolerance for that stuff? Or is it low self-esteem? Or like what is it? Like where does that come from?
I'm not afraid. I think the first thing, of course, a little bit hurts after when you do this 10,000 time knot, but after. But I can handle well.
Yeah, but you just handle pain in general, like fear and pain in general, you handle it well. When you're walking into the octagon, what is the feeling you have?
My confidence for the fight is how I train, because this is I train really hard for anyone I step to fight. I train hard because I know this is going to be my strong point, man. I'm ready. And when I go to the fight, I do what I do in the gym every day and do my best over there. And I always leave it in God's hands who's going to get the victory, but I just have to work hard. If you're going to be me, get out with the victory and the blast, it will. If not, cool. I practice sport my whole life, because as you ask me, Taba, you did your first fight and you lost and you continue. Yeah, because I do competition when I was 12 years old. And I lost so much handball games. I lost so much races. And then I continue doing. And it's something, it's from the sport.
So you believe that you train as hard as you can train and you prepare as best as you can prepare.
Yes.
And then it's in the hands of God.
I do my best over there. And yes, if the moment I believe in his hand, if you're going to be lose, you're going to win, like I leave in his hands, yes.
Well, this is interesting. I want to talk about this.
Yes.
I'm not a believer. Yes. I wish I was.
Yes.
Now, I always tell people that, and they think, what? I go, I wish I was a religious person. I do. I wish I believed. I didn't grow up that way, and I just never, it was something that was never a part of my life. But I would like to believe. But I've always thought, and I always think about Evander Holyfield, who seems by all accounts to be a very religious person. And I always noticed with Holyfield that even though he was started off as a light heavyweight, and I think he fought in the Olympics as a light heavyweight, and maybe 176, 178, something like that. He's not a big heavyweight. Then he went up to cruiserweight, then he went up to heavyweight. But he was never really a big heavyweight because he started off as a light heavyweight. I always noticed it when he fought Mike Tyson. He didn't have any fear of Mike Tyson. I feel like a lot of people who fought Mike Tyson lost before they got into the ring, because I could tell they were scared when they were in the ring with Mike Tyson. And the only way to beat Mike Tyson is to not be afraid of Mike Tyson. And the few guys that beat him were guys that took the fight to him, essentially. But when I would watch Evander Holyfield, he would just stand in the middle of the ring with Tyson and they would just trade, throwing hooks. And I thought, wow, that's ballsy to be in with Mike Tyson and just trade that way. But I realized, I think Holyfield felt, because of his religion, I think he feared God and not Mike Tyson. So I would fear Mike Tyson and not God, but he feared God and not Mike Tyson. Is that a competitive? I think it worked for Evander Holyfield. Do you feel that working that way for you in your fights?
You know, I don't feel like I have a fear of God, but I respect much. And, of course, I don't say the fear because I believe the fear is not a nice word.
Well, I don't mean fear,
yes.
But I just mean,
but I believe
he felt like he was taken care of,
yes.
Or that there was something, a force bigger than him at work here.
Yes.
And thus, he didn't stay up all night thinking about,
yes,
the outcome.
I have the same faith. I don't fear anybody I'm going to fight. I'm not afraid nobody I'm going to fight. And I believe God have the best plan for me. For everyone, because he loves everyone. So why am I going to be afraid to fight? Because maybe I'm going to lose. But this can happen. You can win, can lose. Afraid something take you getting punched, but you're getting punched every day in the gym. So And I use this when I'm fighting for share my faith. So when I go over there, I feel like, man, I'm so there for God, and go do that my best and share my faith to people.
Is there anybody you fought who you didn't like, and then does that affect how you fight, even if you don't want it to affect how you fight?
In my career, I have a lot of fights. I fight with emotion. Like, I win a lot of titles in my career with a lot of emotion. I believe when I fight Amanda Nunes, I was very emotional, the fight.
You're emotional.
Not just because if I have any problem with Amanda, because I don't have any problem with Amanda, but I think the environment around me have a lot of things going on. So I believe this affect a little bit. No excuse, because I believe the loss happened. It happened.
Do you think you would have done better if you had less emotion involved with it or less going on?
I think everything happened for a reason. You know, if it happened, that loss, maybe can change the results. But I believe that, okay, people see that loss like is a loss. I feel that loss like a blessing for me.
A blessing.
Yes, because a lot of change, a lot of things change in my life after that loss. I get improved better in my game. I improve my team. I learn. I grow as a person. I grow like a fighter. And I don't feel that loss like a loss. I lost, but I don't feel the loss. I think I get so much better, so much things I learned from that loss. For me, I feel like it was something I always needed. I grow. I get better.
Yeah, that I always kind of feel that way about change. A lot of people don't want change. They fight change. They try to hang on to things. And then I always say a year after the change, you know, sometimes it's the end of a relationship. Sometimes it's the end of a job.
Yes.
You know, everyone tries to hang on to, they don't want to get divorced. They don't want to lose their job. They don't whatever. And I say, but when you go a year down the road, you always look back and you go, good. I'm glad because I left that job or I was fired from that job. And if I wasn't fired from that job, I wouldn't have ended up here doing this job, which I like more. Or if I didn't end that relationship that I was trying to save, I would have met this person and had this life. And I think that's understood. Most people don't really think that way in terms of fights or losing a fight, but it's really just kind of change in a sense. But the question is, did you feel that way a day, 2 days after the loss, or did it take some weeks or months to kind of creep in to have it be like this was positive?
You know, if you see that loss after the loss, soon after the loss, when I got out of the cage, in my heart I was feel okay. In my heart, I feel okay. I think God already prepared me before for that, so I feel okay in my heart. I don't feel sad at that time. But when I left the cage and I see people crying, I see a lot of people crying, make me really sad. And
so a lot of Brazilians,
fans,
maybe
a lot of
fans.
Yeah. A lot of fans make me sad, and I don't have the opportunity after talk to them about. But at that time, I was not sad anything, and because in my career, I have a lot of things in my life. I know I lost a lot of things too, but the moment after the fight, I didn't feel anything like sad. You know, I did an interview. I think that moment is the moment of the Amanda Nunes. Yes, couple of days after, I feel a little bit, man. What are you supposed to do different? Of course, you make a lot of questions yourself, and I stay around people like believers like me, and I study the Bible a lot at that moment too. Before that, I always study all the time, but and I went to a couple of church doing a lot of testimony after, and a lot of things happened after that fight. And I feel it was a blessing.
Do they, so in football, not soccer, sorry, but
football, American football.
American football.
Yes.
So we had this thing where we had two different leagues going on in professional football. And at some point in, I don't know, 1970, trying to think when the first, or maybe 69. Anyway, we came together. We played the Super Bowl. And now it's the Super Bowl. So
yes.
We figure it out. This team plays that team. this conference plays that conference. There's always been kind of discussion about, you know, the Bellator champ and the UFC champ, you know, male, female, whatever, like sort of coming together for that super fight. But I don't know what the status of it is now. Is it something that you think might be in the future? Maybe not for you, but maybe just in general. Does that make sense?
Like the organization against an organization?
Yeah.
Like champion. I believe it's going to be the future. I think it's the right thing to do, because like if you say, okay, you are champion, but the real world champion, because if another have another champions, who is the best of all the champions?
Yeah, that boxing would have the WBA yes. and the WBC and blah, blah, blah. But at some point, someone would unify it and yes. be the world champion.
Yes, I believe it's going to be the future. Maybe I'm not going to... I think in what, because this is the one thing I did, I signed with Bellator, because Bellator is open for that. I saw he's already... they already put like champions fighting in the event in Japan. And I believe it could be with Bellator, this is... can happen sooner.
Would you like to fight Amanda Nunes again?
Yes.
Is that the kind of thing that you could make happen, you think, if you made enough noise about it?
We make a noise. Like, soon after that fight, I wear one shirt, Amanda Nunes 2, Cyber Amanda Nunes 2. The UFC letting me take out the shirt. But you know, I live in God's hand. If it be in my journey, do this fight again. I'm going to be ready. I've been prepared. I've been training. And I'm getting better every moment I step in the cage. And they just wait.
Do you think you're better at 36 than you were at 26 years of age?
I think I'm a better fighter now, yes, than before, for 100%.
Yeah, I guess, you know.
The experience, maturity, and I think it's, and the techniques too, like improve my game a lot.
What is the first thing that starts to go with age? Is it speed? I mean, I would imagine grappling, strength, you know, jiu-jitsu and things of that nature, technique, obviously, that doesn't go anywhere for a little while. I would imagine your hand speed, your jab, for instance, something that was speed-related, are those the things that sort of start to go as you get older? Is that something that would go earlier than grappling or strength?
You know, I believe for me, okay, of course, I think the age can make difference for sure. But for me, I think my genetic, like from family. You know, my mom have a 67 years old, her birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, mom. And man, she's very active. She's swimming. We go hiking for her. She's the first one in the front. It's really my grandma. She's passed away for 87 years old. Like my family is very healthy. I think it's the real genetic too. I believe I feel better now than before.
Yeah. So you have amazing genetics. Is that mom and dad, or is that just mom's
side?
No,
both. But my mom more athletic. Like she's. Than my dad, yes.
And, it would seem a shame not to pass that on to a child or two or three.
Yes,
for you.
But I will.
You will?
Yes.
Okay, well, as long as we're not going to let those genetics
go to
waste.
If you want
to
sponsor my baby, send an email.
Yeah, because...
Start sponsor the beginner, because when be champion, be better the beginner.
Yeah, would you do that if you have a daughter? Would you say, let's train for mixed martial arts?
You know, I think a lot of parents do some mistake about this, because when you start forcing the beginner, okay, I start with 19 years old, nobody forced me, this is show pop up for me, but I see a lot of kids that start very young, and then the parents cannot control them anymore. Like, okay, 16, I don't know how old it is, but then they stop. I don't want to train anymore. So it then stop training.
Right.
So I think you really have to give a little bit of freedom for them if you really don't want to train or not. But you guide for doing sports. I think sports is very important for the kids, for a lot of things, not just for be outside and use drugs, but for you coordinate, for you learn about nutrition, for you learn about your body. I think it's very important too. So my daughter at the house, she's start training jiu-jitsu. She's doing wrestling. She do a little bit Muay Thai. I think 13.
This is your niece?
Yes, my niece. Yes. Right. She's 13 years old. She started to learn to run when she's moved with me. I started running the herd every day. So, but I don't force anything. Like, I think if she's, you know, I don't force, but maybe one fight for see how's work, you know, amateur fight. She say, no, Chris, no. But, you know, she's started to learn. I think it's a big challenge. It's nice. I think learning for self-defense, but I don't want to force my kid to be a fighter, you know. But if you want to be, I'm going to support him, but I'm not going to be forcing.
Where do you live?
I live in Huntington Beach.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Good. Say hi to Tito Ortiz.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You two should have a kid. That's a good genetic hand there. That would be a fighter. You and
maybe.
You and Tito. Come on, let's do it. All right, let me give a plug to you. The NFT series, Traits of a Champion, and you can see that. It's a beautiful nude, a tasteful nude of Chris Cyborg. And it's how do we or how do I, I'll just spell it out. This is HODOOI.com is where you can go. And website ChrisCyborg.com is where you can go as well. Chris Cyborg, Twitter, and Instagram. So will you come back when you make your next fight? You can make an announcement. We can hype it up and talk about it for yes. Bellator.
Yes. Soon I know. I think it's going to be announced soon. And then after that, my team, we talk to you and they come back for sure.
Please, we'll be watching. You can go to adamcarolla.com for all my live shows. I'm playing all around the country, and I'm playing a million shows. So I'm coming to a place somewhere near you. So just go to adamcarolla.com. You can also check out our show on Pluto TV, our chassis channel 687. Hey, check out our good friend Mike Dawson and the Smokin' Kills, the last honky-tonk hero. They're having an album release party, and that is tomorrow night, Wednesday, at the Mint on Pico in L.A. Go say hi to Awesome Dawson. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Gina Grad and Ball Bryan and Chris Cyborg saying mahalo. A little less twat, a little more plot.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Catch Gina Grad on the podcast Easy Listening. Bob Bryan on the podcast The Film Vault. And me, Kalen, Matt, Gary, and Chris on The Water Cooler. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And pick up tickets to see The Ace Man, books, movies, and more at adamcarolla.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there, owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle your policies at Geico? Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Pluto TV is playing the biggest movies every night this summer for free. Watch hit movies like The Matrix, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Scary Movie, Runaway Bride, and more all summer long. Check out the biggest stars like The Rock, Keanu Reeves, Tom Cruise, Julia Roberts, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and more. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of free TV channels in English and Spanish featuring TV shows, news, sports, comedy, and more, all for free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device, including Android and Apple smartphones. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.